Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Let's pray. Hey, you always when start, pray. That helps focus. Father, I think of this morning, I think of just the way you've orchestrated this morning. I think of the words that were out in the back room. I think of the songs that were chosen. I think of what Andy was led to do. I think of Linda's word, Lord God. And then I think of this baptism. And Lord, it just all speaks of freedom. It all speaks of just the incredible part that you play. Father, I continually reminded of John 10:10, that the thief, the enemy, comes to steal, to kill and destroy. But you, Lord God, have come that we might have life and have it to the full. Lord God, as we live in the world we live in, I know that the enemy is rife. And Lord God, as we deal with this whole area of our minds, that Father, that our minds are being captivated by so many things. And so as we talk about not only the seed thoughts that Annie shared last week, but Lord God, as we talk about confusion today, I pray that as we prayed already out in the back, that veil that blinds our eyes would be peeled back today, that even in this room today, that Lord God, we would see through the PC of this world, we would see through, Lord God, the lies that are being sown into our hearts that are becoming as truth to so many people, that Lord God, we would see your truth and the reality of your truth. Lord God, your truth is there to give us life and to give us freedom and to allow us to walk in blessing. I pray that we would see that this day. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. Amen. I really do. I pray that God's grace would be upon this word, that it wouldn't be just the bits that I put on the page, but that that God would just truly take it this morning and use it. This morning, as you can see, I'm going to continue on with a series that Andy started last week, The Battle of the Mind. And I thought Andy's message and Chris's message last week were fantastic messages. And if you haven't heard them, seen them, get them and watch them. And again, I reiterate what Andy said. You know, church is Sunday. It's not just morning. It's morning and evening. And God packages it together. And really, Chris's message complemented Andy's message and flowed together. And if you missed it, then you missed a bit of the meal. You had main course, but you missed dessert. And you need to be here on a Sunday night. Again, the way that COVID has worked, we've got into the habit of watching things on our screen, which has been just brilliant, and it still is brilliant. However, it's robbed us from the habit pattern of coming to church. And I encourage you to start coming back to church. You're here, but for those of you on screen, I encourage you to start to come back to church, and particularly night church. It's not a long service. It's a free service. It's got a lot. It's just a different service. And if you haven't been to a night service, you need to come. If you were coming to a night service, you need to come back. And I encourage you to do that. So I'm talking about battling confusion. Confusion we see in the world and the confusion that we have as individuals. As I've been preparing this message, my mind, and I'm sure many of your minds have been the same as mine, racing as the events of this past week have unfolded. In fact, it's times like these that I wish my mate, Pastor Hal, was around. I'd love to sit down and have a chat with him about some of his messages on end times. I wish I'd been a little bit more mature in my faith and I understood his teaching on Ezekiel 38 and 39 and his thoughts on how the bear, Russia, played out in the end times. In fact, I remember one of his messages on Russia and China joining together, and I'm sure that Mr. Putin waited until the end of the Winter Olympics before he started anything, because China and him had a pact. Anyhow, enough of my little meanderings, but I do believe that we are seeing end time events outplay. And again, before anybody runs off, we're seeing lots of outworking of end time events, lots of things that are happening. And unfortunately, again, just because of the way that we're wired, we get so used to things that we get dumbed down and our eyes become a little bit dim but we need to be aware of what the Bible says. Matthew 24 says this. I'm going to read it to you. It says, "The disciples came to him privately saying, 'Tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming of the end of the age?' And Jesus answered them, saying, 'See that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name, saying, "I am the Christ," and they will lead many astray. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdoms against kingdoms, and there will be famines and earthquakes, pandemics in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death. And you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will rise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved." We need to endure. We need to read the scripture. We need to not understand when Jesus is coming back, but understand the signs of the times. And we need to know that there will be tribulation, there will be persecution, there will be death, there will be martyrdom happening. It's happening around the world already. We don't see it in Australia. We are blessed in this country. But there will be many that fall away as well. So not only are we seeing wars and famines and earthquakes, as Christians, we're also seeing persecution. In fact, recently I read a stat which shows that Christians across the world are now the most persecuted group in all of the world. Now, you would not think that, but you have to subtly see what is happening, and probably some of the things I say today will show you how subtle the enemy is and how subtle we are being persecuted as Christians in this country. Many are going to fall away. Many are going to grow cold. And again, you hear people talk about church stats. You hear people talk about church numbers dying. People attending church has shrunken over the last 2 years because of COVID, of course. But again, because we've waxed cold, because we've gone cold, because we haven't understood what God wants us to do. We need to make certain that we stir ourselves up, that we get back into being on fire for God. And I love what Sally said today about not knowing how much we have in Christ, and we should be sharing it more and more. People are falling away, I think, because of confusion, because they just do not know what is truth. The confusion that we're experiencing today is nothing new. It's one of Satan's strategies. It's one of his areas of cunning craftiness. He's using it. The Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant. Your enemy is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." He uses confusion, and he's used it many times down through the ages. What it's showing us is how biblically illiterate, how disconnected from God's holiness our society has become. In fact, you only have to think of some of the laws that have been enacted in recent times, and you'll understand why and how this confusion has come to be. In my time, and again, I've been a Christian a long time, I've been doing this a long time, but I would never have thought some of the laws that we've seen passed in recent years could ever have been passed. It just blows my mind to think that we are so dumb in our society that we would let stupidity take over like it has. You think of the Marriage Act. You think of that law that was voted in that changed what marriage and the definition of marriage was all about. You think of how that took place. You think of the dripping away that the lobbies did. You think of the lies that they told us about what would happen and what wouldn't happen, which has all taken place and is taking place. Why was Marriage Act so important to Satan, the god of this world? Because marriage is symbolic of our relationship with Jesus Christ. He is the bridegroom. We are the bride. Marriage is a type of that relationship. And of course, if marriage and the marriage act and the definition of marriage could be broken down, then Satan starts to win. He starts to bring confusion in regard to something that is so solid and so foundational in God's word. And of course, we know how that outworked. This change has had far-reaching consequences. Things, as I said, that were told would never happen are happening. And they're happening at a faster and faster rate. Because with the definition of marriage now changed, law after law after law has to be changed to accommodate the law that was changed. Yet if that law hadn't have been changed, we wouldn't be changing all the other laws. And of course, with that being changed and that accommodating people in regard to marriage, there's others who now want to get married in different ways. And so laws are being changed with that. So you can see one law that goes against God's word changes and confusion comes into the world. To the point where, unfortunately, many of our youth, many of the people in the world, just accept what is happening now as normal. And that then becomes a standard, which of course will be slowly watered down and watered down and watered down. It was only days after the change to the Marriage Act that God's opponents moved quickly on attacking God's identity, out of which have come new laws, laws on gender, laws on sexuality, laws that now we are trying to navigate as an organization, as a school, as a place that stands on a hill, is a light and a beacon for God's word in our community. We are now trying to navigate laws which are contrary to God's word. Who would think that all because you were born with some bits, that you can now change your thinking and say, I'm not what I was born? Why is this so important? Because again, it's an attack on God's word. It's an attack on the truth that sets us free. We were created in God's image, male and female. And so, of course, not only if we can destroy, Satan talking, marriage, if we can destroy how people image God, then we are well on the way to taking control of this earth. And so now we are navigating laws that tell us that it is wrong for us to be able to talk and to pray with somebody who is confused about the way they were created. We are told that we have to now affirm somebody who feels something. Now, I can sense that there could be some in this room that might be getting a little upset at me right now. Might be thinking, hey, that's not PC. No, it's JC. You know, we are so sick, or I am so sick of being told what I can and cannot say. When I'm being told that I might be hurting somebody's feelings. Has anyone bothered to think about my feelings and how I am now hurting because I see the Word of God, which I love, being destroyed, being defeated, being broken down, being watered down, and then looking and seeing the damage it's doing to people who the world can't fix, only Jesus can. When you consider what is now being taught in government schools, what is being taught on our screens and accepted as normal, it's no wonder that we live in a confused world. It's no wonder that our youth are confused. It's no wonder that we are confused. Confusion of logical thought, confusion of values, confusion because of faulty science dominating the world that we live in today. You have to ask yourself, how has this happened? How could it happen? I think we're logical people. I think that realistically, if you went and did the pub test on most people would think that the laws that are being enacted, the things that are happening in the name of safety, in the name of whatever, are wrong. Who would think that way? Yet, it must be pretty big for Satan to blind the eyes of our governments to bring in laws that are going to bring damage. Isaiah 5:20 says this, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Confusion is rife because ungodly men and women, under the influence of the God of this world, under the influence of the father of lies, are getting away with conning the average person because of the confusion of what is good and what is evil, what is light and what is dark. This mass confusion is the outworking because we're now living under man's laws. We have abdicated God's laws and we are living under man's laws. People who support anti-biblical values are either uninformed or misinformed or intentionally rebellious to God's statutes in His Word. They are the current day rulers of darkness, and they're not letting up in their barrage of attacks on good Christian values. Values that God's Word says will bring forth life, not death. The ones confused in what is right or wrong are in fact blinded, because behind it is Satan, the author, the Bible says, of confusion. God's Word says in 1 Corinthians 14:33 that God is not the author of confusion. In Psalm 71 it says, "In you, O Lord, do I put my trust and confidently take refuge. Let me never be put to shame or confused." However, there is a scripture that we often don't read. In Deuteronomy 28:28 it says, "The Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of mind." That might sound like a contradiction. It might sound as if I'm sitting on the fence in this. God is certainly not the author of confusion, Satan is. But God will allow confusion to come upon us. Why? Let me show you. The confusion we see all around us is the fruit or the result because we have disobeyed God's word. In fact, we have brought this confusion upon ourselves through a curse that God says in His word He will allow. God is a just God. God is a righteous God. God will not be mocked. He sets before us life and death, blessing and cursing. Now choose life that you and your children may live, the Bible says. We have a choice. Today we have a choice. In this room we have a choice. I'll share some of those choices with you in a minute. But let me open up this quickly because I think it's important that we both find the answer and the root to our own and the world's confusion. The first part of Deuteronomy 28 starts off with blessings. Blessings we receive if we fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all His commands that I am giving you today. In Deuteronomy 28 verse 1 it says, "The Lord your God will set you high above the nations of the world, and you will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God." Just consider that. Would you think that the church is high above the nations of the world this day? I wouldn't think so. Even though I know that we are of the world, but we're not of the world. or in the world but not of the world. Even though I know that we've been given power and authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, even though I know that I am not under, as a Christian, Satan's dominion, but God's, the church has again abdicated its responsibility. If you go on for the next 12 verses in chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, it tells you all the blessings that we will receive. Incredible blessings. And if you just read them and understand them, comprehend them, you would obey God's word just to get them, because they're such beautiful blessings. And it finishes off with this. If you listen to these commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today, and if you carefully obey them. Now, God, of course, knows our heart, and he knows that we fall short of his glory. If we, in our heart, try and obey them and want to obey them, try and honor them, then the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you will always be on top and never on the bottom. Again, as a church, not LMC, as a church, church worldwide, church nationwide, are we the head or are we the tail? Are we being wagged right now by governments, by laws? Are we being dictated to right now what we can and can't say? What we do have to affirm and what we don't have to affirm? What we can do, what we can't do? Of course we are. Why? Again, because we have not obeyed the Lord God. Obviously, the church hasn't done well. As I said, we've abdicated our responsibility, and in doing so, we have given the God of this world opportunity to bring in his negativity. If you go through the curses, not only are they the opposite, 13 verses of blessings, about 20 verses of curses. They're horrible, and confusion is one of them. Thank goodness, or thank Jesus, we have the answer. Together with all the other things that Jesus won for us through the atonement, Jesus has broken the curse that has been upon us when Jesus died on the cross. Galatians 3 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. Our task is now to appropriate, and I love those signs, I love the graphics, to appropriate the freedom. What a great, great word for this year. To walk in, to appropriate, to claim our freedom, which Jesus has won for us. Corporately, we don't have to live in confusion. Corporately, we can break free. It's going to take courage. It's going to take solidarity. It's going to take a desire. But we can break free. Because if God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 12 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Seed thoughts, battle for the mind. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. What a beautiful scripture. We speak it, we preach it, but it is a ripper of a scripture. And it starts off by, don't copy the world's behavior. Don't do what they're telling you to do if it's against God's word. For all of you who are thinking you're in trouble, Graham, because you're on YouTube and people are going to see this, I don't mind being in trouble today. I am so, so cross at what is happening in our world. I am so, so frustrated at the lives that are being stolen and robbed and deceived because of the stupidity that we're seeing happening around us. Ephesians 4:17 says, "Now this I say and testify to the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds." In Acts 5:29, "But Peter and the apostles replied, 'We must obey God rather than any human authority.'" Now, I'm not saying that we should be Rambos. I'm not saying that we should be just no people because we just want to be against the government. But I am saying that we do not compromise God's word for the laws of man. It's time to get real and trust, as I said, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. If you haven't seen it, there's a latest truth of it by Martin Isles on YouTube, where he talks about the City Point Church and the City Point School that tried to make some policy that fitted to with their word, with the word of God. I encourage you to read it. I encourage you to watch it. It's a very, very, very good one. And so that's corporately, but individually, it's no different. We do the same. Individually, if we're confused, to start with, we are not to copy the behavior and the customs of this world. Individually, we are no longer to walk as the Gentiles do. Individually, we are to obey God's word. As we've already seen in Scripture, confusion is not what God wants for us. Isaiah 26:3 says that you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in you. You know, peace is the opposite to confusion. And I love it when scriptures come together, when you see God is not the author of confusion but peace. You can see the two together. You can see if the opposite to confusion is peace, then how do you get peace? You get peace because you put your mind on God. You put your mind on God's word. You trust in God's word. And in trusting and living in alignment with God's word, as God's word is your plumb bob, then you will find peace. There might be turmoil all around you. There still might be conflict. But in your spirit, in your heart, you will have peace. I have conflict all around me at the moment. There are so many minefields that we are navigating. Yet I have an incredible peace that God is in charge and that God knows what he's doing. If you've lost your peace, if you know that you're confused about even what's happening in the world today, and you find your mind muddled, you find yourself agreeing but disagreeing with what people are saying, find yourself trying to navigate some of the stupidity, then truly you have allowed your mind to be taken off God's word. So how do we get this peace back? Man, I'm finished. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of Christ by taking every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, to the obedience of his word. Therefore, as I've said, step one is to bring our mind into captivity to God's word. God's word needs to become our default again. What does the Bible say? And that settles it. That's the matter. Then you work through it and you walk your way around that. Step two is, in this scripture, to start using the spiritual weapons. Start using the armor that God has given us. You see, God knew what we were going to fight. Half the passages in the Bible are there to show us what's ahead of us. God wouldn't say not to be conformed to this world if we weren't being pressured to be conformed to this world. God wouldn't say that we wrestle not against flesh and blood if it didn't look like flesh and blood. God wouldn't say if your brother offends you, if your brother wasn't going to offend you. The Bible tells us how to act, how to work in situations so that we would enjoy the freedom and the blessing that God has for us. We know that we have an enemy in the land. We know what he's out to do. We know what his strategies are. The Bible tells us we're not ignorant of his devices. And God, in his wisdom, knowing that we were going to fight this battle, not only gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, but he gave us weapons and armor that are there for us to be able to walk in that freedom, to claim that freedom, to claim our promised land. We have the authority. We have the name. We have the blood. We have, of course, the Word of God. We have our testimony. We have praise. Praise is an incredible thing. Power of prayer. Of course, we've been given the Holy Spirit. Better that I go, that I won't send you the Comforter, the Counselor, to enable, to help you, to anoint you in what you're going to have to do. And then, of course, we have the ability to resist. Resist the enemy and he shall flee. And then, of course, we have the armor. Helmet of salvation covers our mind. The breastplate of righteousness covers our heart. The belt of truth holds our pants up. Shoes of peace helps us walk in God's ways. Shield of faith. Shield of faith, such an important part. Such an important piece of armor. Why? Because it quenches the fiery darts of the wicked one. Those fiery darts that are being thrown at us all the time. Fiery darts, when they get through, a little bit of infection happens. And another little bit of infection happens. And another little bit of infection happens. The thing about the shield of faith is it's an armor or a piece of armor that dictates that we must be facing the enemy. Not running away, not scared, but facing the enemy head on. Of course, we have the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, as I said before. We can't do anything without the Word of God. It is our truth. It is the truth. And then, of course, in Ephesians, it tells us in this passage with the armor that having done all, having done everything, stand. And that's where I see Christians failing right now. They do it doesn't work, so they think that God's not there. If it's written in the Bible and you know that you're standing on solid ground, then don't give in. Today, I would like us to stand against the confusion in this world and start to speak the truth. I'd like us to start to confront the confusion that is in our mind by realizing that we only have confusion because we're not trusting God. We haven't placed our minds on Him. It's going to take courage. It's going to take determination. However, I can tell you now the peace that comes from God, which passes all understanding, is worth it. It is an incredible reward. To be able to go to bed at night and to be able to sleep, to be able to sit in conversations, no matter how hard they are, and know that you know that you know that you're standing on God's word and therefore it must be right. With this peace comes this promise. In Ephesians it says that we will be no longer children, tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. We have been tossed around. We have become the tail. It's time to become the head again. I'm not speaking about anarchy. I'm speaking about standing for what is right. Because we are called to be light in darkness. We are called to lift God's truth. And we are fighting for our world to come to know the saving grace that Jesus gave his life for. Let's pray. Father, I pray that today this word would not return to you void, but would accomplish that which you purposed. Lord God, there's so much that could be said, and there's plenty of others who could have said it better. But I pray that your anointing and your grace would fall upon your word today. That, Lord God, that you would stir us up to fight. To fight for what is right. To fight for our children. To fight for our youth. To fight for our community. That, Lord God, we would start calling a spade a spade, rather than some other name that it might feel. Lord God, that we would start to declare your word, that we would have the courage to declare your word, as much as you showed us through your Son courage in standing tall for what he knew you wanted him to do. Father, Jesus gave his life that I might have freedom. Lord God, I declare that we should give our lives for you, that others might have freedom. Father, have your way, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.